When I was in seminary, one class was different than all the others when it came to exams, because we didn't have papers, we didn't have quizzes or midterms. We just had one exam at the end of the whole semester. It was 15 minutes long, and it was an oral exam, where your professor is just talking to you, and the material you had to know was everything, because he could ask you anything from the entire semester. You were allowed to fail twice, but if you failed a third time, you were done. You had to repeat it. And everybody had this same teacher, all of us going through. I think people in the 1500s probably had him. He was an old man. And he was always trying to trip us up and kind of catch us off guard. And so my friend went in to take his exam, and this priest, he would welcome you in and have you sit in a chair in front of his desk, and behind his desk were this long row of windows where you could see outside and all of these trees. And after he would ask you a question, he would stand and he would kind of turn like that and just look out the window, not even acknowledge you. Why he did that, I don't know, but he would just keep asking his questions. And so my friend, he was in there taking the exam, and he knows he's struggling, he's doing rather poorly. And finally he says, "Father, are you even listening to me?" And the priest, who's from someplace in Eastern Europe, is looking at the trees. Mind you, this is January. And he says to my friend, "Do you see those trees out there?" And my friend says, "Yes." And he says, "Why don't you come back and see me when there are leaves on them?" He failed, if that wasn't clear. But I was thinking about that as we're listening to this gospel and the other scriptures today. Unfortunately, we don't get to take the exam we call life more than once. At the end of our life, or at the end of the world, the end, for those who are younger, seems like a long way off. For those who are older, maybe not so much. But as we are reminded over and over again in the scriptures and from these different tragic events that we hear from around the world and around us, there's nothing that says you get 75 years or 90. I've buried people in their 20s, and I've had funeral masses for people who are 104. I haven't, but priests who are friends of mine have buried babies who are a few days old. There's that. And then we get the scriptures that are all about the end of the world. And the end of the world is either when you die or when Jesus comes back. Really, whichever happens first. And we don't know when that will be. No one knows, except, we're told in the gospel, our Heavenly Father. And when we die, or when Jesus comes back, whichever comes first, you and I are going to be judged. That's what we're hearing about in the scriptures. So we heard about that in this first reading taken from Daniel, and it's a great reading. There's another reading that I think is very complementary to it. It's from the last book of the Bible, Revelation, in chapter 20, starting in verse 11. It says this: "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it. And from his presence the earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And books were opened. Also, another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, by what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead in it, and death and hell gave up the dead in them, and all were judged by what they had done. Then death and hell were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Okay, there's a lot going on there. Let's break it down. We are told that there are two books that are being kept. The first is called the Book of Life, and then there's a second book that we could call the Book of Our Deeds, right? That's what we have done with our life. And so the first book, the Book of Life, has all of our names in it. All of our names are written down right now. God has created you as he has created everyone to have life with him in heaven. He creates no one to go to hell. At the beginning of your life, you were written into the Book of Life. You're there right now. Okay, your name and my name are written in the Book of Life. Then there's that other book, the book that of what we have done with our life. And in that book are written all the things we do, both the good and the sins that we've committed. And here's the point that Scripture is telling us today. At the end of your life, something needs to be erased. Right now, all of our names are written in the Book of Life, but here's what it tells us in another passage from Revelation chapter 3. The Lord's talking to his people, and he says, I know your works. You have the name of being alive, but you are dead. So awake and strengthen what remains and is on the point of death, for I have not found your works to be perfect. Remember then what you received and heard, because if you will not awake, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come upon you. He who conquers shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out your name from the book of life. I will not erase your name. So we are being told that it's possible, that it's up to me, it's up to you, that God could do something he does not want to do. He will blot out our names from the book of life. How do we make sure that doesn't happen? Well, there's the other book, right? And while all the good I've ever done is written down in that book, so are all the sins that I have not repented of. And at the end of my life, either those sins will have been erased, or my name will need to be erased from the book of life. And what the second reading is trying to get across to us today is that Jesus, in a certain way, acts as God's eraser. That if I will turn to him, if I will bring to him the wrong that I have done, if I will repent and I ask forgiveness, he goes and he erases my sins with his blood that was poured from the cross, from the book of my deeds. So when we stand in front of God, if we've repented, if we've asked him for forgiveness, when he goes to look into the book of our lives under offenses that we've committed, it's blank. There's nothing there. When you die, you want those pages to be empty. What do we do for that to happen? It's called confession. And the reality is that many of us, in this and in every other Catholic church throughout the world, haven't been in years, if not decades. Which means those things, those sins that you've tried to move on from, are still written in that book. And as we are continually reminded in Scripture and from watching the news about what happens around the world, none of us know when the end is coming. So if that doesn't drive you to the confessional line, I honestly don't know what will. I don't know what else I can say. Because when I die, I want my name to be in the book of life. I don't want my name erased. I want my sins to be erased. And confession is that unwrapped gift, that sacrament of forgiveness that so many Catholics leave unwrapped sitting in the corner. Say, no thanks, I don't need that. But that decision could come back and bite you. For those who haven't gone, I beg you, run to the Lord and receive his mercy in that sacrament. He longs to forgive your sins. He longs to erase them away for all eternity if you let him. Something along with that, Scripture says that we can do, not as a replacement for confession, but like an addendum to it, is to give alms. Now, alms are not tithing. It's not like the stuff that we give to the parish, as important as that is. Almsgiving is specifically the donations we give to the poor. And Scripture says almsgiving, our generosity to the poor, covers a multitude of sins. So it's a good thing to be generous with those who are in need, and goodness knows that at this time of year when we start thinking about buying gifts for the people that we love this year, how about this? Maybe this year we decide to buy one gift for each person in our family, and we spend the other money that we would have spent on things none of us need on people who are poor. You can do that in a multitude of ways. I think our parish does a really good job at making it easier for you. Like, we have the Door County Toys for Kids drive that we do. You can bring a toy and put it in the box, and it gets to the kids who are in need. We're going to have the Giving Tree back this year with ornaments on there. You take one off, and whatever is on there, you bring back to the parish. And as many ornaments are taken off, they're replaced, because there's always more need. There's always more need. On Thanksgiving, you can bring food, the non-perishable items that find its way to a food pantry in the area. All those different things. And we do that because we want to care for those who normally have to go without, because we know they're our brothers and sisters. But the added bonus is that almsgiving covers a multitude of our sins. And so sometime between now and Christmas, those two things I implore you to take to heart. Number one, make it a point of going to confession at least once. I think in next week's bulletin, we're going to have the schedule of penance services during Advent. I'm going to have two here. I'm going to have two in Maplewood. Whichever one works out best for you. Or Saturday evenings are always times for confession. Or you can just call and make a personal appointment. That's number one. Go to confession. And then give alms. Not from your surplus. As I was talking about last week, give from your first fruits, not your leftovers. Give your best. And just the last thing then for you to think about, say that over at our school, an eighth grader joins in the middle of the year, transfers, and he or she starts going to class, and after a few days, he or she says to one of their classmates, you know, all this talk about an exam at the end of the year, I don't buy it. I just don't think it's going to happen. Like, there's not going to be a test. It's just going to sort of end. And there's going to be no evaluation of what we've done. You would say to that person, you're a moron, right? Don't be a fool. There's going to be a test. Trust me. Or you can't move on to high school. How come that's so obvious when we're talking about school? And it's not so obvious when we're talking about life. The scriptures today are trying to tell us not to live like fools, but to live wisely, to do everything we need to do to make sure the Lord erases everything that needs to be erased from the book of my deeds, namely my sins, so that my name stays written in the book of life. And not to live our lives in fear, but to live our lives in quiet and confident trust in the one who loves us so much that he gave everything he had, even his own blood, to erase our sins. Amen.